B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Legendary thrash bassist David Ellefson is my guest today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Always love talking to Dave. He gives me the skinny on everything that's going on. Of course, his book is out. A new album release is out called Sleeping Giants. We talk about that. We also talk about times in Megadeth when things weren't going that well. Could he have gotten back into drugs and alcohol?
You know, well, I'll just say one day at a time, and people can probably kind of figure that out, you know?
We talk about the challenges of releasing material outside of Megadeth. Frank Bello chimes in with a question for Dave, as well as Dave Mustaine's health and new Megadeth.
Dave's doing well. He's going through his treatments.
Bass legend and all-around great guy David Ellefson is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. One of the true good guys in our rock and roll, David Ellefson, coming up here for you in just a few minutes. And we got rock news with Al Beck coming up. And give us a little taste, a little tease of what's going to be happening.
A little tease. We finally have some Tool details. How about that?
All right, that works.
We got that coming up. Some Slash. He's got a live record coming out. A surprise appearance from half of Green Day and more.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Hey, by the way, you know, I'm always saying on this podcast, and I met some great people over the weekend, people that I've never met before, as far as rock stars go and whatnot, and they were super nice. But I met one dick, so we'll tell you about that.
That's how I feel every time I come in here.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, I'll tell you who I bumped into this weekend, who I couldn't wait to see. And who was a total prick. So
right.
We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a little bit. On the opposite end of that spectrum is David Ellefson. I mean, I've gotten to know David really well over the last year or so, and just a great guy. He's got so much going on. He's got this Sleeping Giants record that's out right now, More Life with Death. I was reading a bunch of that last night. It's a really good read if you get a chance to check that out. Sleeping Giants, by the way, John Bush is on there, Run DMC, Mark Tremonti, all sorts of guests. And he's out there touring on that. And, you know, we talk a little bit about Megadeth and Dave and different things around his life and stuff. So anyways, I was connected via one of these three-way calls, and we were off and running today with David Ellefson on Talkin' Rock.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good. Good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, long time no talk.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, thanks for all the email questions, by the way, you sent me for all the artists I talked to.
Sure, you're welcome. I even called my son on the one because he's a big Geddy Lee fan and said, hey, we got an opportunity to ask Geddy something. You got a question for him? So it's fun. It became a family affair in the Ellefson household.
Well, I got one for you coming up here in just a bit. But anyways, so listen, here's the thing. So every time I talk to you, there's always like about 18 things I don't talk to you about because you have so much going on. So what is everything you have going on right now?
So right now, the new book, More Life with Death, just came out about a week and a half ago. And then with that, the companion solo CD, Sleeping Giants. And Sleeping Giants is it's really a compilation of some brand new tracks that I've recently written, as well as some things that I pulled out of the vault. Group F5 that I had in the 2000s, and even some stuff that I wrote back in the 1990s, a song called If You Were God, which features my friend John Bush from Armored Saints.
Yeah.
And thank you. And also David Glenn Isley, who sang with House of Lords and Jafria. He sang on some tracks that I had written back in that time period as well. So it's kind of a culmination of about 25 years of my life, of the new, the old, and all stuff that has not seen the light of day or been heard until now.
Yeah, no, it's killer. And, of course, you'll be coming through Detroit here coming up on the 16th of August. And that's the whole Bay Story thing and all that kind of stuff, right?
It is, yeah. And Bay Story, you know, started out as this solo platform for me. It could be anything from a clinic to kind of a Q&A storyteller. And now with the Sleeping Giants album out, we have a full band, a full five-piece band. And both me and my partner Tom Hazard handle the vocals, and so when we come through Detroit, it will be a full blown rock concert and playing the Token Lounge, which is where Megadeth played back on the P-Cells tour. So
coming back,
and it's funny, I now own Combat Records, which is what the label Megadeth was on for Killing Is My Business in our early days. So Ironically, I started on Combat Records, and I've returned home to Combat Records for my Sleeping Giants album.
And now you return home to the Token as well. I was just there with Mark Slaughter the other day, and he says, yeah, talk to David about leaving Megadeth, going back to school, going to Peavey and all stuff. So that's all in your book, you know, that's out right now. And, I mean, you really had a change in direction in the early 2000s before getting back with Megadeth, eh?
I did. You know, when the group disbanded in 2002, I mean, I was young. I was 38 years old, and we'd done well in Megadeth, but I wasn't ready to retire, and I had a lot of ambition, and I had a young family to raise, so I, you know, still had to be dad and show up and go to work and pay the bills, and I, you know, I kind of thought, like, God, is my bass playing career over, my music career? But the reality hit of, you know, I might have to change direction in life for a while, and I was willing to do that. You know, I was kind of like, you know, I was like, all right, God, you know, lead me where you need me, you know. And it's interesting because I ended up doing an artist relations position for a big musical instrument manufacturer named Peavey, and I was already using their products, and that was a fun journey because I got to connected with the music industry and a lot of artists on the other side of the corporate desk, if you will, you know, serving them. And you know this business of rock and roll, when you're an artist, everybody comes out to sort of serve you. So it was interesting to be on the other side of that. And I went to college and got my business degree, and so it was cool. And I went back to Megadeth in 2010. I came back a much different person into that band, and I think that's put me in a position, and I have this platform to be able to write books and put out solo albums and enjoy this next season of my life now.
Yeah, you call it seasons too in your life, and I like that. You know, as I was reading the book the other day, it's like something struck me, and I've dealt with a lot of musicians and interviewed a lot of bands and stuff, but it's like with you, it seemed like at one point, man, nothing was really working for you. And I don't know, maybe this is just a crazy thought, but like, did drugs and alcohol ever enter your mind at that point from when you were down in the doldrums, or was that just out of your life?
You know, it was, and it's because I have a recovery program that I'm part of. You know, well, I'll just say one day at a time, and people can probably kind of figure that out. You know, and that you know, that is first and foremost in my life above all else. And you know, being remaining sober and keeping that course of action for recovery number one has always allowed everything else to follow suit, you know, to have a beautiful family and be able to continue to, you know, follow my make a vocation of my passions, which is music. And I realize, especially in this day and age, you know, music has never been an easy path if you wanted to do it for a living. Probably harder now than it's ever been. Yet for some reason, you know, the opportunities seem to come my way, or the people come into my life, and we are able to create the opportunities.
Yeah. Talk about the challenges of, like, releasing music and stuff outside of Megadeth.
Yeah, you know, look, with Megadeth, you know, the war is kind of almost already won. We put a record out. With metal records, the first week is your big sales because the fans are excited. They rush out, they buy it, and you know, week two is about half of that amount. Week three is half of half, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then we go on big concert tours, and we keep the promotion going and enjoy the live performance of the music. But, you know, with doing things like what I'm doing right now, you know, part of why I started the EMP label group and, you know, subsequent Combat Records relaunch started when I was doing some producing and a few years back. And, you know, even me, you know, successful as a artist and a, you know, recording artist, you know, when I produce something for somebody, you still got to walk around the record industry with your hat in hand and your tin cup out, practically begging, you know, for someone to listen to it and give you a shot with it. And I got tired of doing that. And when I met Tom Hazard, he had run labels before, and he said, why don't we start a label? And initially it was kind of a way for me to just have a home for the things that I worked on. And it went from that to being a full-fledged record label, putting out, you know, Mark Slaughter records and Doyle and, you know, for things for a lot of our friends, you know, who are kind of in a similar position. They're great artists. They've had huge careers, yet they're still, you know, kind of, we're all trying to figure out how do we keep putting music out and how do we get it out to our fans. And talk to people like you at radio and, you know, kind of keep the train moving forward so we can, you know, enjoy doing what we're here on the planet to do, which is be artists, songwriters, and performers.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, a couple more things. I know we got a short time here. First of all, Sleeping Giants is killer. I mean, the book, I've had a chance to read a lot of it. It's really good. It's cool to get the inside skinny, a lot of that stuff. What's going on with the new Megadeth, and how's Dave doing?
Dave's doing well. He's going through his treatments, and we certainly appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers on that matter. And like you said, in his press announcement, he's going to keep us updated. So I'll defer to that.
Gotcha.
For, you know, for any actual updates with that. But yeah, just, you know, having the Megadeth record in the works and in process, it's kept us all hooked together. It's kept a good unity in our camp. And I think it's just kind of a good vision of hope, you know, to keep working forward on a creative endeavor together.
That's cool. Okay, final question here for you. As you know, sometimes I'll message you about, you know, different artists that I'm talking to. So I messaged Frank Bello. I said, what should I ask David? And he said,
uh-oh, yeah, okay. That's
what,
a good one.
What would he do without coffee?
Oh, man. Yeah, life without coffee would be a bleak existence for sure.
Hey, there's your next book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we should call it, that'll actually be the legitimate coffee table book, right? A life without coffee would be impossible. No, I said it's an ironic topic to have a coffee table book about coffee, you know. But, you know, it's interesting. On this tour, I've actually been drinking a little less coffee. And probably because I'm singing more. And, you know, I've always been a backup singer. And even as a kid, I was a singer in many of my bands. But, you know, in Megadeth, obviously, Dave Mustaine is the singer. But it's great to be, you know, singing lead vocals on a bunch of songs. But, you know, it's one more instrument I have to take care of, which is my voice. And so all of a sudden, what you eat, what you drink throughout the day, and how you sleep and all that stuff kind of comes into play in a little bit different way. So I've actually, my friend Coffee has had to take a little bit of a backseat on this tour.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll see you here in Detroit in a couple of weeks. And of course, get a hold of me should you need anything, and we'll be there to help in any way. Coming up on August 16th at the Token. And man, you got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire right now, so.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, as you read in the book, you know, there's that season when, you know, sometimes when things shut down, you're standing there going, oh, my God, it got cold and dark really quick. What the heck is this about? You know, and I think that was my jumping off point, and that's what inspired me to, you know, roll up my sleeves and really get busy just doing the life I love. So thank you for all your support, Meltdown. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you when we come through town in a couple weeks.
And hopefully when I talk to you, there's not a 2-second delay so we can actually have a real conversation.
Exactly. As it should be.
All right, David. Hey, thanks for the time, man. Good to hear your voice. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet, man. See you, buddy. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And there he goes, David Ellefson from Megadeth fame. Of course, that guy just does so much stuff. Like he was just saying, it's like, you know, when he's sitting around, he kind of get in dark places and he just want to keep doing things. And I kind of know exactly what he means. I had a really, really, really busy weekend between my own personal life with kids hockey and baseball and different things like that. And I saw 3 shows over the weekend. I saw Slash, which we'll get to here in a few minutes. I saw Vince Neil and I saw Slaughter in 3 consecutive days.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool. So Friday night, we started out, I went to Slash. I had to go do a stage announcement between the opening band, Joyous Wolf, and Slash. And so I went up there, and I'd never been to Caesars Windsor. Have you been over there?
I've never been, no.
No, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty big room. I don't know how many people there are. It's over 5,000 for sure. But anyways, there was a lot of people there and stuff. And I went on and did my stage announcement, the whole thing. But before I went out to do my stage announcement, I'm kind of in this back hallway. Mm-hmm. And Brent Fitz, the drummer from Slash's band comes by. And I just start talking to him, and he stops, starts talking. You know, says, hey, what's going on? Because I know Jericho like a little bit, and those guys are buddies and stuff, you know. And so anyway, so I start talking to him, and it was kind of funny because at one point the tour manager said, okay, hey, Fitzy, you got to get going and get ready for, you know, your and Meltdown. You got to go do your stage announcement. And he just kept talking, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I tweeted him over the weekend. I said, hey, man, great to meet, you know, great to hang. I literally hung with him for like 5 minutes, maybe tops, right? Mm-hmm. Not only does he tweet me back, he also follows me on Twitter, okay?
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not trying to stroke myself, but I'm trying to build up to something here, okay?
Okay.
So Sunday, I go to see the guys from Slaughter. It was Mark Slaughter and Blaz Elias, the drummer. And I've already met Mark a bunch of times. Super nice guy. And I'm always saying this about how the nice people that I meet on this journey, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as, you know, because there are a lot of nice people out there, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah. There's a lot of them. They stand out almost as much as the bad ones.
But you know what? Most people I meet are really nice.
Right.
Okay?
I agree.
I just gave you one example, right?
Yeah.
So I meet Blaz Elias. We start talking. We start hanging out. And it's like, look, nobody has to kiss my ass. I get that, okay? Just be cool. Just be nice.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so anyways, Blaz was telling me about his Invisaligns and in Vegas. And like, oh, hey, when you come to Vegas, we'll go ride bikes. You know, all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Once again, super nice guy. Now let me get to Saturday. So
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You wouldn't tell me. You told me off mic, I got a story for you, and you wouldn't tell me. So I don't know who this is going to be either.
Right. So anyways, this was a guy I was really looking forward to seeing. Okay.
Okay.
So Vince Neil comes to town. He's got this band, Dana Strum, who's also from Slaughter. Mm-hmm. And Dana Strum, we got Jeff Blando on guitar, and then we got Zoltan Chaney. Have you ever heard of Zoltan Chaney?
Yeah.
He's a drummer.
Yeah.
And it's like watching Animal from the Muppets, right?
Okay.
He's kicking cymbals, he's throwing, sticks up in the air. I mean, he's super, super entertaining to watch. I've never seen him play before, okay? I've only seen him on video, and I'm like, I can't wait to see this tonight. This is going to be fantastic, you know? So I'm kind of standing off to the side of the stage. It's about 7:30 at night. Sun's out, the opening band's playing the whole thing. And so Zoltan Chaney comes walking up. And I said, hey, Zoltan, how you doing? I'm Meltdown from WRIF. And he kind of looks at me, like looks down at me and says, who are you? And I said, I'm Meltdown. I work at the radio station here at WRIF. Once again, you don't have to kiss my ass.
Yeah,
you don't do anything. Just, you know, be nice.
Just saying hi. Yeah.
Right. Just saying hello. And he goes, he says something to the effect of, I don't know what that radio station is, or I don't listen to that radio station, or something like that. I'm like, okay, I wasn't asking you, okay?
You're not from here. I wouldn't necessarily.
That's fine.
But it's a little bit of context.
Right. But let's just say that WRIF carries a lot of water. He's playing with Vince Neil.
Yeah.
Who do you think's played more Motley Crue in this town?
Right, exactly.
Than us, okay? And I mean, that doesn't mean anything to him, but I'm just saying, for context, we started playing them when they first broke, and we're still playing them, okay? So 40 years, okay? We've been on the air for 48 years, okay? So anyways, so he says something dicky like, I don't know what that radio station is or something along those lines. So I switch gears. Hey, man, listen, I'm super excited to see you play tonight. You know, I've never seen you live. I'm really looking forward to this.
That's
almost what I said verbatim, right?
Yeah.
He points out behind me, the stage is about 30 feet behind me. He goes, well, you're not going to see much through all that smoke out there. And I turn around, and there's like some smoke drifting out because, you know, it's an outdoor venue. And he just kind of walks away. I'm like, okay, dude. See you later.
Wow.
I know. What a dick.
Wow.
So then,
someone needs to tell him he's Vince Neil's drummer and not Tommy Lee.
Well, once again, regardless, okay? It's like, I just wanted, you know, and then here's another thing for context. I meet his guitar player, Jeff Blando, a couple minutes later. I say, hey, Jeff, I'm Meltdown from Riff. Hey, man, how you doing? He's got this big, like, RV that he's traveling with his family. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, pretty cool rig you got. Oh, thanks. You know, and we start talking about it. I go, listen, I hear you have to move it. You need a place. You can go to my, you know, you can park it in my yard. I don't care. Yeah. He goes, no, I think we got this all settled out and blah, blah, blah. I see him backstage a few minutes later. There's about 20 people in the hallway. Walks by, hits me on the shoulder, gives me a nice smile and walks by. That's, you know, there's the difference right there. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was so pissed off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Zoltan.
Oh,
okay. I couldn't wait to watch you play. And I've heard from friends of mine that are friends of his that say he's a nice guy. Well, I haven't seen it yet, so.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe
I just gave you three experiences outside of him that were fine.
Yeah, and I will back you
up. Which is what I usually do.
I will back you up on the mentioning the radio station thing, not looking for a pat on the back.
No.
Sometimes, like, these guys will run into so many people. It almost is a comfort when you're like, listen, I do this for a living, and they almost kind of are at ease because they're kind of, we're like a buffer sometimes, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it relaxes them a little bit. Usually this guy thought maybe, I don't know what he thought you were trying to tell him.
And then to top it all off, I see this guy from a distance who's their head of security. And it's a really long story, but I used to know him in Buffalo 25 years ago. And when I told him I worked on the radio in Buffalo, his eyes lit up. He's like, are you Meltdown? Like, I haven't seen him in 25 years.
Yeah.
And I used to see him all the time in Buffalo.
Sure.
And so we reconnected, and he works with them all the time. So, anyways.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I just had to get that out there because you know what? If you want to act like a complete jerk to me, well, there you go.
What a douche.
Yeah, so there you go. There you have that. So take that for what it's worth. If you've had run-ins with Zoltan, and it's been fun, because I heard that somebody else said he was a prick, and a couple other people said he was really nice. Listen, I'm willing to give anyone a second chance, but I wasn't trying to, like, I don't know what the deal was.
Right.
Really.
And you could have caught him on a bad day, but it's like, you know what? You can't take it out on someone. You know what I mean?
No, and that's fine. You know, people do have bad days. I get that, okay? Yeah. But when you're purposefully being a jack-off, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm with
Which
you.
Is what he was.
I'm with you. Because sometimes you'll get a bad interview, and you'll look at those and go, man, like, I'm supposed to get 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I had an interview one time. The dude burned through a full page of questions in about a minute 45, and I said, thank you very much, and I left. I'm like, I'm not going to, you don't want to talk to me, I'm not going to sit here and waste my time.
You know, sometimes it happens, okay? And sometimes when I have a bad interview, you know what I do? I blame myself. That's my fault. I've had bad interviews with, like, Rob Zombie and Danzig. And, you know, the next time I've had great interviews with him. Because I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'll put that on me. This one's going to be better.
Yeah,
so.
Well, the one I was talking about, the dude is listening to a baseball game in one ear while I was trying to talk to him.
Remember you telling me about that. So anyway, so that's my story. If you've had any run-ins at Meltdown WRI, if you can text me. I'm sorry. Give us a call on the line 248-586-2988.
I'm seeing a tweet right here. I ran into a short guy on the radio who was an asshole.
All right, speaking of tools, start talking about tools, because I'm done talking about this.
Oh, man. Well, hey, good news. We do have a few details about, two things that we've been anticipating from Tool. Number one, they announced that they were going to be putting their catalog on streaming services, which a lot of people use. I know you like a hard copy, but a lot of people love their Apple Musics, their Spotify's. They did announce that this Friday, August 2nd, the Tool catalog will be going up on digital and streaming formats. So if you've been looking for it, because I keep refreshing Apple Music.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I've been looking. I want to listen through it again. So that is coming August 2nd. And also a clarification via a tweet. Fear Inoculum is going to be the new album coming out on August 30th. We had a date. Now we've got a title for that new Tool album.
Yeah, Inoculum, I guess. I looked this up because I'm not that smart. They say it's a substance of inoculation.
Okay.
Or something like that.
All right.
Did you look it up?
No, I did not look it up. I mean, I know what an inoculation is, and that's the word I thought of when I heard it. I'll put it this way, Meltdown. I was really taking a stab and hoping that I was saying it right.
Right. You know? Yeah, inoculum. I think
it's
that's
a
right.
word I've never seen in print before today. So inoculum is, you know, what I came up with. So pre-order details are not yet available. They are yet to be announced.
So moving on to Slash. Like I said, I saw Brent Fitz the other day from his band. Great guy. And I'll tell you what Slash is Slash. You know, everyone knows what you're going to get when you get Slash. You know, he's obviously an icon, awesome. What's his name? Miles Kennedy.
Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators.
Yeah, great guy. Great singer. Just a super, super good dude. But I was really surprised by Todd Kearns, the bass player, because he sang two of the songs, and some of his backup vocals were really killer, almost like Michael Anthony, kind of like.
Oh, okay.
So I was surprised when I saw the show the other day how good he was. But Slash has some stuff going on, eh?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the news around Slash these days, which you heard right here on this very podcast, was, you know, Guns N' Roses' new album. Obviously, probably going to be some more tour dates after that album's done. He's also got, as you mentioned, the solo project with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. They've been out on the road. You just saw them. And they also filmed back in February their show in London for an upcoming DVD and album release. So you can check out, Slash has actually got a video that's streaming online teasing the release of Living the the Dream Tour, which is set for release September 20th. That was, like I said, recorded at London's legendary Hammersmith Apollo. It was recorded this past February as a part of their European tour in support of their 2018 album. Living the Dream Tour will be released on DVD and 2CD format, also Blu-ray with 2 CDs, 3LP black vinyl limited edition, 3LP red vinyl, digital video and digital audio as well.
That's a lot.
It is so, a lot. So a lot of options, but again, September 20th.
All right, September 20th, yeah. So the show was great the other night. They only did one GNR song. They did Night Train. Of course, and that crowd came alive for that, but that was pretty cool. Hey, moving on to Green Day. What's going on with them?
Yeah, nothing much really to report. Just kind of cool that Billy Joe Armstrong and Mike Dirnt showed up and played a surprise set at the 40th Street Block Party in Oakland, California as part of their cover band, which is appropriately called The Cover-Up. So you're at a block party and just all of a sudden, you know, two-thirds of Green Day just show up on stage.
That'd be so kick-ass, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know why more people don't do this, but, like, I'm walking around the casino the other day, and they got the cover band playing there in the middle of the casino. I'm like, if I was Slash, maybe I'd just go up on stage and jam. But, you know, maybe those guys don't want to do this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we were talking about the Emmys and, like, the Paul McCartney carpool karaoke thing. How cool that was. People walking into this little pub in Liverpool, and there's Paul McCartney doing jukebox songs for
right.
You.
Like, no, that is
how
awesome.
Cool a surprise show is like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Wasn't there another band I think recently just showed up at someone's house and started playing? Well, Dave Grohl does that kind of stuff a lot.
Right.
You know? Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah. One of my favorite Bill Murray cameos ever. I saw him. He was on the news, and then, like, he was at a golf, just random golf course. It wasn't like a big PGA tournament or whatever. And the guy, like, was like, "Oh, can we get you on the news?" And he's like, "Yeah, of course." And he sat there and he waited for the live shot and sat next to this guy for 5 minutes, waited for the, "All right, we're live." And he said, "Well, I'm here with Bill Murray." And Bill Murray turned and walked away.
Yeah, that is funny. I could see that coming.
He's there wearing overalls the whole thing.
That is funny. All right, let's wrap this up and bring it home with some Slipknot news. Corey Taylor, I guess, had to get those rambunctious kids to settle down.
Yeah, you know, I saw the headline that, the headline I see is Corey Taylor halts Slipknot show over rowdy fans. And I hear that and I go, well, isn't that the point? You're supposed to, it's heavy, it's aggressive, and you're supposed to get in the mosh pit and things. Well, the thing is, there was a guy who was in distress, having, I don't know, maybe heat stroke, maybe he was injured, but he went down in the pit and the fans were preventing medical professionals, like the paramedics, to get in there and retrieve him, which is the no-no. I mean, man, like, you do get in there and the pit gets kind of violent, but you got to look out for each other. And so Corey Taylor did stop the show and really scold the fans. There is video up online of this, too, telling the crowd that no one is getting hurt on my watch. He said, you know, "Do you hear me? Do you understand me? Get off my lawn!" Yeah, so he just got up there and he yelled at the fans and made sure that the paramedics are able to get that guy the attention he needed.
You know, I'll give him this. Corey was paying attention and did see what was going on. And from the stories in the reports I saw, he may have saved some people some serious injury or who knows what else, you know. And that's one of the things. Did you see there was video of Shaquille O'Neal in the pit at a concert recently?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. And the guy's just bouncing off him.
Of course.
And Shaquille's like this big, giant guy right in the middle of the pit. And everyone's taking a shot, you know. But, of course, he's Shaquille O'Neal.
He's Shaq, yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But good on Corey, like I said. Because sometimes those things do get a little bit out of control, and you know, so some of the bands like that stuff, but it's like they just keep going. But
yeah
it's good on him. So anyways, he'll be coming through. I should be talking to him here coming up in a couple weeks. We'll see what happens. Maybe on the podcast. I'm not guaranteeing it or saying it, but we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you one person I'm not talking to. Hey, by the way, let me get back to my rant for real fast.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So not only did I really want to see this guy play, I emailed him like a year ago, asked him to be on the podcast because I wanted to talk about him and his playing and his life and the whole
thing.
Right
to the spam folder.
Right. Could have been. No, but he never emailed me back. Okay, that's fine. I get it. Yeah, you know, that happens. Whatever. You know, I'm not going to get everybody, and that's fine. But he's like one of the only people I think I ever emailed. So it's not like I'm just like some douche that just like trying to pick a fight with somebody, okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to see this guy play. So, yeah, Zoltan, sorry, off the show.
Well, you know, I'm just antagonizing you because it's entertaining. Like a yapping little Yorkie over there.
What a dick. All right, go ahead. What's your handle?
Yeah, hit me up, Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
At Meltdown WRIF. So, yeah, I don't want to get people tweeting me their poor rock star interactions because that could get people in trouble. Most of the ones I have are pleasant, like I said.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave you an example of tons of them that are pleasant this weekend alone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm done. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right. Thanks for listening to Talking Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.